The following was recorded at the St. Louis Bi-State Area Convention in 2014. The opinions expressed here on this recording are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I am a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Cindy.
And also Sue. Yeah, and we are here for the 100 Pounders meeting. Let's see. Is there a thing we're supposed to read? Let's see.
You could just start out with introduction.
I know that we're supposed to announce that these meetings will be taped, and that this year the tapes are going to be going onto the internet, and you can download the tapes off the internet. So if you're not comfortable sharing your name and your story on the internet, then you need to use a fictitious name. And if you're from the press, we ask that you not use any names. And that's it. I don't know. I didn't see the thing to read. So this one, we're going to be both speaking, and Sue is going to go first, and we're going to speak about the challenges and the solution for those of us who have had in the past 100 pounds or more to lose. So.
Sue, I just prepared my story. Is that right?
That's right.
A little communication.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Sue. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Sue. I'm Sue.
Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home, as we like to say. If you're dying from compulsive overeating, you're in the right place. But here we offer hope. You know, and for myself, I just prepared my story. I hope it's okay. I started compulsive eating when I was 4 years old. I turned to sugar. My mother had made a sugar treat for dinner, and they were all watching TV. Back in the day, TV was a lot more important than it is today. And so I was in the kitchen just, you know, ladling it out, just eating as much as I could. I got myself a sugar buzz, which was really nice, and I enjoyed that. And to me, I didn't feel guilty about it. I thought it was a great thing, and I continued to use food as a drug when I was at home. There was a lot of abuse and violence in my home, so in order to cope with all that, I turned to food. I'm an overeater and an undereater, so I can go, as a child, I would go days without eating or drinking, and then I would eat all the sugar. To get myself through. And in my family, I was always being told how fat I was. You know, you're a fat pig, you're a fat slob. So in my head, you know, as a child, it's like, I am fat, you know? And that's why all this is happening. That's why I encapsulated all that. And then when I grew up and became an adult, I went back and looked at my pictures, and I was never fat. I was always thin. But this is just what went on. And in my head, I had this issue that I was fat. Then fast forward, I get married, and my disease gets out of control. Within 5 years, I gained 100 pounds. And I had all my little rituals with food. And my husband worked nights, and so I had my little, you mentioned foods or not, no? I had a binge food, Sousa Q, that I don't know if they make them anymore, but every night when he left, I would go get my box, and I would just sit there and eat that whole box. And when he left, I would run around the house to get the money for my binge food, right? Because I didn't want him to know, God forbid, you know, as my weight became bigger and bigger. And I would run around the house and look for money and go through pockets and coats and, you know, get underneath the, you know, take the cushions out and look for money. And one day I'm running around the house doing my thing, and I feel something behind me. I look around, my son's looking at me with this look on his face. Like, he's five, and he's like, are you crazy? And that's when I begin to realize I had a problem. But by then I was up to 280 pounds. And so I continued on eating, telling myself I wasn't eating too much, enjoying myself. And, you know, every day I'd ask people, do you think I'm fat? And they're like, no. I lived at home. I didn't really work. And then the scale, you know, as my disease progressed, you know, it got to where, and I know today I indulge myself in my disease. I was eating sugar like all the time. Every time I got in my car, my car would go down the street, I'd stop here and get something, stop there and get something, stop there and get something. And after a while, it just tasted like glue. It didn't have a taste at all, you know. All that it did was it just kept me from wanting more. That's all it did towards the end. And my weight kept accelerating. And And that, and you know, and it's like, I go to bed at night and it's like, oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die because there's so much weight on my chest. I can't breathe. My heart can't beat. You know, I can't breathe. I'm going to die before I wake up. But I didn't know what to do. You know, I kept on going. And on a scale, I would weigh myself. Back in those days, the scales would only go to, at least our scale only went to 325. I think today they go higher. So my little scale would go, you know, it would stop. So I knew that I was that plus. I just don't know how much. And, but I continued on. And then my sister, who had been sick, she had gotten cancer a few years ago. At the age of 18, she died suddenly. And that was it, you know, and I was 28 at the time. And I was at home, and I was depressed, and I looked at myself in the mirror. You know, and by this time, I was so big, I could barely fit through that door. I would go to sit on the couch. Like, if you lay on the couch, my stomach would I couldn't even get myself up or around, and I'm like a nervous person. So I'd be like walking around trying to do something, and it's like, I was like a train, you know, you get going and you can't just stop, you know, if you stop, you're gonna topple over. And my whole life, you know, and I looked at myself in the mirror, my body, and I decided I did not want to live like that anymore. So I cut my food out, and within 11 months, I lost 180 pounds. Because I would only allow myself to eat one or two bites, and that's it. I was at home, I wasn't working. And so then I got underweight. So my family was like, well, you've lost too much weight. You know, you're too skinny. You know, everywhere I went, you know, people are like, well, you've got to, you know, you need to gain weight, you know, and you're too thin, you know. And every day I'd get up and I'd look in the mirror, you know, and I would just go like this. Like, well, there's still fat on my body, you know. So I can't stop losing weight. There's still fat. And then one day I was running around the house and I had to look at the back of my hair for something and I had the mirror up. I looked in the mirror and I could see all my ribs. I could see my ribs, I could see my spine. And I knew, it's like, well, I'm thin. I am thin. And I knew there's something is wrong up here. I got a problem. And I thought about my sister. You know, when she died, she was like emaciated, you know, and she laid in her coffin and it's like, well, I don't want to end up like that. So I started eating. You know, the food came back. Well, then the weight started coming back. So, and then I found out, guess what? The food tastes good. After all that time without eating, it's like, oh, it does taste good after all. Whoa. So I'm eating the food, you know, so the weight's slowly getting back up there. So I start going to a popular weight loss group. I'm not going to mention it. We all know it's men. You know, you pay your money, you know, you weigh in. And so, you know, my way of handling that is I would just not eat for 3 days, go, and then I got out that door. I go to the Quick Trip and get my binge foods. I'm in the car shoving it in my face, you know. And so I didn't really, I lose like maybe a pound or two, and then it would stop, and then I lose a pound or two. And I would go back, I think I must have gained five, I mean, I must have joined that thing 5 times in 1 year. And then the last time I joined, I went and paid my money. I come home, and I made my legal breakfast. And I sat there and looked at it, and I just took it like this and against the wall. I am no longer doing this. I'm done with that. It doesn't work. And OA had just started. I found out about OA, and I went to OA. And I was a moderate mealer, you know. I weighed about, I guess, 190 pounds or so. But I was satisfied with that. And I just did 3 moderate meals a day. And I didn't claim, you know, any other type of access but that. And that worked for a long time. And during that time, I worked on my other issues. I got divorced. I worked on the abuse issues of the past. I worked on my spirituality. We have a, you know, 3-pronged program. It's not just physical. You know, with my doctors telling me the whole time, well, you don't really need to lose, you know, all your tests come back okay, you're fine. And as I was doing my moderate mealing, my weight accelerated, you know. So now I got up to 260 pounds. Just moderate meals, that's all it took, no exercise. And so I also developed type 2 diabetes. So I decided to go sugar-free, so I got another sponsor. I had sponsors. I was working my program this whole time. I got another sponsor. I went sugar-free and lost 30 pounds. And things were going great. I was exercising and losing weight. And in my food plan, I would eliminate my binge foods one at a time. I'm eating too much of this, so this is gone. I'm eating too much of that, that's gone. And I was just, like, gradually. Then, because I know I had these other issues I hadn't worked on for my past. And then last year, May of last year, we had a tragedy in my brother. One of my surviving brothers developed stage 4 cancer, and then 8 days later he was stabbed. Just like that. And that was the 5th death in my immediate family from cancer, due to stress and everything that we had gone through. You know, they all had their alcohol issues. And I decided that I want to get healthy. I want to put the food down, all the way down. I'm going to get healthy. I don't care what my issues are. I have issues related to the past. And I decided I had to trust my higher power 100%. 150% I had to trust my higher power to get me through every obstacle that I had been clinging onto while I clung onto this weight, because it was just like a barrier from people, a barrier from feelings. It was a barrier from living that I felt I deserved after everything I had gone through. So I got a healthy food plan for people in my situation, and today, you know, I don't eat sugar or sugar-free. I do occasionally have sugar-free gum or sugar-free or diet soda. I eliminated all starches, modified starches, which we all know, breads, pastas, blah, blah, blah. The thing that tastes good, you know. I eliminated those. And I do occasionally eat healthy starches, you know, which might be beans and rice, but those can have a negative impact on my body. You know, I exercise every day, and I enjoy my life, and I work with a sponsor. I sponsor people. And, you know, the biggest thing that when I first gave up after he passed away, I first gave up the food, it was like lonely, you know. I eat my dinner, I come home, I live by myself, it's like lonely, you know. So there's nobody there. I can't watch TV anymore. I can't pretend anymore. I can't have all these little sugar, you know. I just have to give up my little addictions, you know. And so I turned to program. I turned to program every single part of program in my life. You know, whether it's meetings, friends, going to meetings, sharing, doing service. I'm doing service right now, anonymity, all the tools, all the steps. I continue to fill up my life with all the spaces I had spent thinking about food, buying food, eating food, denying myself food, or weighing myself, and all the other crazy things that go along with it. And all the issues that came up in my life, my higher power has presented to people to me that I need to get through all these issues. I've had a lot of issues, and, you know, related to the past, and the higher power has never failed me, not once. And without OA, as soon as this happened, I would have gone home, bought all my binge foods, shut the door, and sat there and just shoved them in my face until I got numb. You know, because that's what I did. That's what you do when you're a compulsive overeater, you know. You numb your feelings. And by the grace of God, I don't have to do that one day at a time. You know, today I have my ups and downs, you know. We all have ups and downs. And, you know, I've lost, I guess right now I'm at 145 pounds by the grace of God. You know, I give it all to OA, you know, and because I would have been dead by now, honestly. I would have been dead by now. And just recently I started a new meeting, a meditation meeting, because it says improve our conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation. And my appetite, which I never had a problem with, all of a sudden when they woke up, I guess with my feelings, they're like, oh, I'm like hungry. My stomach's hungry. My stomach's I like when I eat. Like, food tastes good. You know, and I had to turn it over to my higher power. Today, every issue, without exception, goes to my higher power. And he sends the people into my life that I need. Whatever part of the program I need, he sends into my life. Because I am that sick, compulsive eater that I can eat something, and you could put food on this whole table, I could eat out every dish and not be satisfied. Because that's the way my disease is. And for today, one day at a time, I don't have to. And for today, one day at a time, I can live in recovery. And thanks to all of you, you know, all of you for coming and being here. I love you all.
Thank you. Thanks, Sue. You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Cindy.
I am so grateful for the path that I get to walk. And I was a fat kid. I was always like the biggest, slowest. I kind of joke, it's not really a joke, but I think I was the most valuable person in every PE class I was ever in, because I took the shame of being the last one. I took the shame of being the slowest one, so that none of the other girls had to be that person. I was them. And I went to a reunion recently, and I said, I think I was in PE with you. No matter what girl it was, it was like, I'm pretty sure I was, oh yes, you were. Because they valued me in PE. even though they wouldn't acknowledge it, that there was somebody that had to be the slowest and the most sluggish. And that was me. I was the big kid. I'm the fifth of six children. And I was a very lonely kid. And we had a lot of get-togethers with our big family. Well, it was big in every way you could think of it. But anyway, it was a big family. And we'd get together, and there were four cousins that were 3 years older than me, and there were two cousins that were 2 years younger than me. And I was in the middle with nobody my age. And I had a brother that was just 3 years older than me that would, he would do anything that he could possibly do to make me cry every day. And he especially loved to make these family get-togethers painful. And I would be on the outside of some door, wishing I could play, and I would start crying, and some adult would come and say, "Stop crying, go in that bedroom, and stay in there until you can stop crying, and then you can come out." And I would stuff the feeling, and I would make myself stop crying, and I would come out, and there would be feasts of everything out there, and I would eat and eat and eat. And it happened at least once a month for birthdays, and it happened every holiday. And my life was very lonely. I didn't have one friend, not one friend. I look around this room, and I don't see one non-friend. I see maybe one person that I'm not sure what their name is. Most of you are dear, dear friends of mine. I had not one friend when I was a kid. And I had a lot of issues, you know. And so in seventh grade, I had to weigh in front of my whole PE class, and I weighed 223 pounds. And recently, maybe about 2 months ago, maybe, I passed that weight for the first time since that day. Since seventh grade, I'm below 223 pounds for the first time in my life, in my adult life. And it's nothing shy of a miracle. And I am so grateful. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care how long you've been in program, I don't care how many times you've fallen down, how many times you had to pick yourself back up, I'm just saying, there is hope. You keep working at it, and you keep letting your higher power come into you and through you, there is hope. And I came into program when I was 30, and my life was totally unmanageable. I wasn't paying my bills. I was an RN at the time, and I had money in the bank, but I didn't pay my bills. I wouldn't know that I was behind on a bill till the water got turned off, or the lights, or whatever. And I wouldn't go to my mailbox to check the mailbox because I was afraid that there would be some shaming letter in there, and the mailbox would fill up for months. And so I didn't come in because I was 200 pounds overweight. I came in because my life was unmanageable, and I didn't want to live anymore. The people around me all pulled their. It was really bad weather. Not that we would know anything about this year. There was really bad weather that winter, and they pulled all the people that were closest to them, their children or whoever. And I was alone in a trailer with no lights, alone. And I believed that if I died, there would be a few people that might cry at my funeral, and it would not make a difference to anybody. I did not believe that this convention would be what it is if I didn't exist. Today, my life has purpose and meaning, and it's all about being connected with my higher power. And I don't care how many pounds of weight I have on me, my higher power loves me to the depth of who he or she is. And I've found that same hunger that we have for God, that we keep stuffing food down, trying to fill it, that same hunger that only can be filled by God. God has a hole in him, her, that's shaped like me. And nothing can fill his hole that he has for me
except for me. He's hungry for a relationship with me. And it's in my writing all the time. I write love letters back and forth between me and God, and sometimes hate letters, sometimes really angry stuff. And what I've found is that his love for me doesn't change based on what I eat. It does not. What changes is the fact that I can't see it because I'm in a fog. I can't see that that the ocean is right there. I took a trip out to the West Coast a few years ago, and there was a scenic viewpoint, and it was really foggy that day. And it said scenic view, and we went up there, and it's like, what the heck? You can't see a thing. Well, we were just this far from the ocean, but because of the fog, you couldn't even see the ocean. The ocean is vast. God's love is out there, and it's vast, and it's for each one of us. I don't care how much weight we have on our bodies. I don't care anything about what we've done, what we're going to do. God loves us so much. And when I was a kid, when I first got in recovery, I had a lot of needs that were unmet. And I figured out that if I could figure out how to meet those needs of my inner child, she would agree not to eat. So there were four needs that I had actually each one of these needs can be met at a meeting. Because one of the needs was to talk and have somebody listen. I needed to talk and have somebody listen to me. My inner child needs to do that, and I can do that at a meeting. I need to feel my feelings without fear of punishment. If I just cried a couple of times in this time, not one of you said, stop that. Go out there and you stay out there until you can stop crying. They did not. And that love, so I can feel my feelings and not be punished. I had a need to be hugged and held. And then at the end of the meeting, people come up and hug me. And I didn't get that when I was a kid. I did not want the cookie. I didn't want the cookie. I wanted my mom to pick me up and tell me I was beautiful. And she gave me a cookie, and that's what I settled for. And I don't have to settle for that anymore. I have love from each one of you. I have love from my higher power that fills that need. And I don't have to fill it with food anymore. I had a need to belong. I needed to be a part of instead of a part from. And I am a part of at this convention in a way that's unbelievable. And we can choose to do different than we've ever done. No matter how big we are, no matter how small we are, no matter what our higher power knows the route. And he has a plan, he has a way. We can get through this thing. And my current recovery, about 10 months ago, 11 months ago, something like that, I went to a 35-year reunion from high school, and the next day, I danced nonstop. I know you guys probably can't believe that I would do that, but I did. I danced nonstop for like 3 or 4 hours, and the next morning, I went into atrial fib, and I had been in atrial fib a few times. And the threat of that is stroke, and I could have a stroke and worse than die. I could, you know, lose my ability to talk or whatever, which would drive me nuts. And so anyway, I ended up, and they had to do the paddles on my heart to stop my heart so it would start beating again. And I'm going to take my pulse right now. Yeah, it's sinus rhythm right now. And if I was in atrial fib, it would be going like that. And even with as much adrenaline as I have flowing this weekend, yeah, it's sinus rhythm. That's a miracle. So 10 months ago, I had a wake-up call. It wasn't good enough to keep off the 130 pounds that I'd lost. I wasn't done. It was time to get to work again. So I got a new sponsor, started writing her my food every day. I started going to a lot of meetings. Most of you have seen me in meetings from time to time, weekly or whatever. And I go to
somewhere between 6 and 10 meetings a week, sometimes 3 in a day. That's not including phone meetings, which if you can't get to a, you don't have any excuse. If you can't get to a person-to-person meeting and you have 10 minutes on the phone between wherever you're going to somewhere else, you can pick up that phone and call into a meeting pretty much any time and get some recovery. So we got phone calls, we got meetings, service. You can't outgive God. If there's ever a time that I know that, it's this weekend. It's this weekend. You cannot outgive God. The blessings that come to you when you give of yourself personally far outlast anything that is possible for anything that is going to come back to you more. So I do a lot of service. I do writing. I try to do 3 pages a day, and it was really hard at first because I didn't know what to write, and I was trying to do this stream of consciousness thing, and whatever comes to your head, you write it down. So I was like, this is stupid. I think that this is going to be a worthless thing. I don't think that this is going to do any good, blah, blah, and just write whatever comes to your head for 3 pages and stop. And then the next day, 3 pages and stop. And I was doing that for a while, and I was going to this other group that I go to, and somebody said, well, I'm going to ask the pages tomorrow about something, if it was God's will or something like that. And I said, well, there's a concept. I could ask the pages. And so in my writing, I asked the pages, I said, well, what do you want me to do? And one of the first things I said was, I feel like a liability at my house because my husband works and I don't work. And I felt like he's the asset, I'm the liability. And in my pages, it said, Cindy, you are not a liability. You are not. Loving you is what gives him a life. But when his mom was dying, she of her own took her own life. When she was lying dead, that what came back to me is that I knew he was going to be okay because you exist. And even though that happened when he was 8, and so I can ask and I can say, I don't get it. I don't understand why the food's calling me. Why do I have this problem with this food? Can you help me? How can you help me? What do I need to do? And, you know, and if you want to say what the, and whatever expletive you need to use, what I know is that my higher power, he knows the words anyway. He's there in your, you know, whatever, he knows that you're thinking those things. In my, not everybody thinks that, but in my world, I think that. And so he's gonna take you to the new spot, and he's gonna help you do the things that you need to do, and he's gonna give you the answers. And in the writing, and it was kind of funny because somebody was saying, you know, I heard my counselor said, if you the only place that you'll hear God's voice is in silence. And I'm like, because I'm never silent. So it can't be possible that you have to be silent, because I'm never silent. Except when I'm writing. It's the only time I'm silent. And maybe for somebody else, it's something else that you'll be able to reach God in. But for me, the writing works because I shut up for a few minutes. And I had this thing where I was like, I was looking at, I've always hated the little white book. I hated it because it felt like a duty that I had that I didn't keep up with, the little for today book. And I thought, you know, and I would make a new year resolution. Okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it every day. And then pretty soon it was March or whatever, and I'd have to go back and read 3 months or whatever. But what happened 10 months ago is that I said, now, are you willing to take 2 minutes in the morning and and do one little thing, read this one page, and let that be your mindset for the day. And some of those little pages in there, I don't even like. I really don't. I'm like, screw that. That's not true. That's not me. But it gets my mind thinking about, is it true? Is it not true? What do I really believe? What would my higher power say? But, you know, and if I can do those things, then that's what works for me. And for my abstinence, I have lost 167 pounds. The last 37 of them have been in the last 10 months. And the last 3 of them have been in the last 2 weeks. So this is my abstinence. My abstinence is broad. My abstinence is, I don't do sugar, okay? I don't do sugar-free. I don't do deep-fried stuff. I try to do 3 meals a day. I can have, it's fine to have snacks of fruits or vegetables. And other than that, everything is imperfect. Everything's imperfect. And if I do too much and I eat compulsively something, and I sometimes do, I just fall down on the path, I get myself back up on the path, I keep walking. I fall down on the path, I get myself back up on the path, I keep walking. And it's such a miracle, and I'm so grateful to be in this place where my life is not about rigidity, it's not about doing it exactly perfectly, it's about doing it, and keeping on doing it, and doing it every day. And if I make a narrow path, with a cliff on both sides, I'm going to step one green bean too far one way, and I'm going to be down in the shame and all that crap that's down there. And I'm standing on the path, and I'm going to keep standing on the path. And you guys are going to watch me fall sometimes, and you're going to watch me pick myself back up. But I am so grateful to be in this spot, in this place, able to be the person that I am, and able to know who I am, and that it doesn't have to be perfect. I didn't strive for perfection in the, I had to make myself not strive for perfection this weekend, but I did strive for excellence. And I think that we achieved excellence last night. I think we did. And if we didn't, the gift is to God. The gift wasn't to you. Then he takes the gift and brings it to whoever he wants. And the hearts that he wants tonight, the hearts that he wants will be open to what they need. And the people he wants to be here will be here. So I'm just really grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for everything that God is doing in me and through me. And I think I'm just going to end in the third step prayer, and I'm going to sing it. So it goes, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, thy way of life, may I do thy will always. May I do thy will always. Thank you. I guess that means we're open for sharing. Again,
what about the Ask a Basket?
Oh, the Ask a Basket.
Yeah, are there any questions?
Any questions?
It is a panel, so. Did the basket?
Okay.
But anybody has any questions, they can just ask them right now. Yes. And if there's, I guess if there's no questions, we can just go to sharing. Okay.
Did you get past, I have a lot of self-hate,
How did you get past it?
Okay, so her question is, how do you get past the self-hate?
Right, and I think the thing is that when we come into program, we're exhibiting that by stuffing our feelings down. Okay, so we're doing it to ourselves. Whatever it is, we're bringing it on to ourselves. And so coming to meeting, getting the unconditional love that we need from the people here and from our higher power is what can help us to get past that, and learning how to replace the hate with love. And then doing, you know, having the humility to come in. You know, we have an honest, open-minded, and willingness. Then that can be relief from us when we're ready. And then we get a sponsor, you know, and you can get a sponsor. You can ask anybody to be a sponsor. You can get a temporary sponsor, co-sponsor, and start working the program, and then asking the higher power, because he loves us just like we are. He doesn't care if we weigh 5,000 pounds or 10 pounds. He loves us as we are. So it's really our job to love ourselves, too. And you can do it. I'm telling you right now, you can.
So, when I came into program, I really hated who I was. And where I first started getting some positive self-image was that I respected the people in program, that I liked them, and I thought they were pretty smart people. And when I looked at them and what they thought of me, they liked me. So I kind of took on that they must know something, and if they could see. So I started seeing it myself through their eyes. And then the second thing, I have this ability to work with kids. And when I work with kids, it's like the most rascally kid. Those are my favorite ones. And I can find something to love in any child. So I had to think of myself as one of those children and find the things to love in me. And a lot of times I'll have my sponsees write out 10 things that they like about themselves, and then add where the next week they might have to write out 15 things or whatever, and really looking for the positive things is what, yeah. Any other questions? Yeah, then we'd be open for sharing. I think the shares are 3 minutes or less, and you can share on the topic. The topic is
or whatever they want to share.
Yeah, right.
Because we're going to go to 120 or
okay.
Yeah, we have plenty of time.
Yeah, so we have about
25
minutes. So we're open for share. Yeah. 25 minutes, and we're open for sharing. So anybody who would like to come and share.
And if you want to share from where you are, we can move this little thing. If you want to be on the tape, you don't have to come up. You can just signal your hand, and we can take that back to you.
I'm Jane Mullen. I'm a compulsive overeater living in recovery.
Hi, Jane Mullen.
I wanted to attend this session because it meant so much to me when I first went to OA to hear a speaker who had lost over 200 pounds, because I weighed over 400 pounds when I came to my first OA meeting, and I knew that I needed to lose over 200 pounds. And I couldn't believe that something was going to change for me, because every day was the same. My eating was out of control. I would hear, you know, the fast food windows calling my name, and I would answer, "Here am I," you know, and I'll buy some. So, then I, you know, have dinner when I got home, and just, you know, there was food all around me, and I had it all the time. And I got up to a top weight of 431 pounds, as far as I know. I may have been higher than that, but they did weigh me in order to put me to sleep to operate on my hand. So I found out how much I weighed because I was refusing to weigh at the doctor's office. So I am so thankful for that speaker who was willing to tell his story. And about his weight loss, because it let me know that even if I can't believe it can happen to me, it's happened to somebody else, and that started to break through my doubt that anything could change for me. So OA really has made a miraculous change in my life. So far, I'm down 139 pounds from my starting place. I'm off of blood pressure medicine. My resting heart rate is 15 to 20 beats a minute slower than it was. I actually can walk for enjoyment now instead of walking with a walker, which I was doing for a while. So this has just been a totally miraculous experience for me. And because it was so important to hear somebody else confess that it had happened to him, I think this is my chance to share what a miracle it's been for me. I don't know exactly how it's happened. All that time I was compulsively eating, I was also compulsively praying, help me God, stop this, and it wasn't happening. And then it did. And I don't know how to explain that, but I am so thankful for it.
Thanks, Jamo.
I'm Julie. I'm a professional reading.
Hi, Julie.
When I came back into program in 2008, I was a little over 300 pounds. And I was at a point where I was eating so much food that I was so full that I couldn't even keep it in. You know, that's when I would eat and throw up and eat and throw up, and only because I was eating too much. It just wouldn't stay in my body anymore. I was looking on the website for my next thing was I was gonna go look for surgery. And that little voice in my head was always, you know where you have to go. You know where you have to be. And I just ignored it for a while. And I was like, I didn't want to come back here. So I waited, but every time I kept looking on the internet, it just kept saying, you know that's not going to work for you. You know, there's only one other place you have to go to. And I was like, okay, fine, because I was in a 13-year relapse. But when I came back to the meeting, I saw people there from way back. I was like, wow, they're still here. And that was kind of amazing to me, I'd still run into other people from the past. I was like, they're still here too. I did whatever I was supposed to do when I came back. I was like, I'm willing to do anything. And I got a sponsor. I did that little workshop that they had for relapse, and I did that. And I knew before when I came back that if I was coming back, it was going to have to be for life. Okay. So I just did whatever I was supposed to do. I've lost maybe between 65, 70 pounds. I've been maintaining that. I know I have more to lose, but that is in God's hands. But last year, I started walking and exercising and stuff. That's the miracle of the program, is the things that I am able to do now with my body. I did a 5K for St. Patrick's Day last year. I was like, never, I'm going to do that again. Because that almost killed me. But I did it. That was the thing. When I made it across that finish line, I was like, I did that, And I was like, man, I was on such a high. I was like, my sister was like, oh, we can do an extra. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I can't do that. But the things that I am able to do now that I never thought I would be able to do before. So that's what this program does. And I'm just glad to be here. So thank you. I really do.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Julie. Glad you're here.
I'm Susie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, hey, Susie.
It's always interesting when God kind of pulls me, okay, I want to go. And so to Kim, I said, I'm actually getting up. But I've been a compulsive overeater since I was a little girl, and always turning to food. It's just a really wonderful feeling to be able to eat food and enjoy it, but not to feel like I need to have more in order to set those feelings that you're talking about. My abstinence is not perfect, and it was interesting because Cindy has been to our OA group and a member of our group, and when she talked about her abstinence, it just kind of clicked with me, because it's all black and white, and I always want to do it so perfectly, like going on a certain program on the computer where I can log every calorie and all that, and I'm finding for me that doesn't work. So it's been a joy to be a part of OA, and it was also hell when I left, when I did not want to be part of this group. And though you're all wonderful people, I didn't want to be part. And what I realize now is whether I have a perfect abstinence or imperfect or whatever it is, whether I'd rather go shopping or do something else, for me, going to OA every Tuesday at 5:15 is like, it's like air to breathe, air to live. And that is just so important to me, because when I'm out there and I'm not with OA or part of OA, it's not a place that I want to be. And so I'm so grateful. So last night, was it, when we stood up and said those who were planning on being OA 10 years from now, I was so proud to be able to stand up. And I pray to God that I can be here 10 years from now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Susie. Glad you're here.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Adam.
And I wanted to come to this meeting. I recently became a 100-pounder. I stepped on the scale about 6 weeks ago, and I was below 200. And I'd been at 300, was around 300. I don't know how high it was my top weight. And I like what people have said about abstinence. I think everybody has a different version of what that is. And but I tend to think it's a state of mind. It's where I'm not using food as a drug anymore or as some kind of numbing agent. You know, my food plan has changed. I've only been in program about 14 months. And there's been a couple of different phases of it. And but I really do think that putting the food down is kind of an abstinent, a prerequisite to getting into the steps and experiencing the recovery. And I think the steps are where we no longer, I don't crave that food, it doesn't call to me. You know, and I work a lot of long hours. I'm about to finish a degree in 6 weeks, and my life has been totally insane lately. And I find myself eating in a lot of cafeterias and stuff because I work in healthcare. And I've just noticed that even though my life is probably as stressful as it's ever been, that the bad food just doesn't call to me. You know, you walk into a cafeteria and there's pizza and cheeseburgers and nachos and crap food everywhere, and it just doesn't call to me. I walk to the kiosk where the fruit and the hummus and the hard-boiled eggs are, and I go to the salad bar and I get my abstinent meal, and it gets easier. So if you're really struggling to get abstinent, or you don't even know what that is, or you don't know anything about the 12 steps, I'm sure there's people here this weekend that can really help you. And it is possible to live life without being obsessed with food. I got very sick with food. I've cried in drive-thrus. I parked at drive-thrus, ate, and then drive back around to get my soda refilled and ordered another Big Mac, you know. And but it does get better. And I forget who said it. Someone who just said it. They weren't sure how it happened. I don't know how it happened. I know that I made a food commitment on the phone one day after a meeting, and I ate that. I ate what I said I was going to eat, and I was just kind of struck abstinent, you know. It just happened. I eat what I say I'm going to eat. My sponsor knows what I eat every day, and I eat what I say I'm going to eat. And it does get easier. So I'm speaking at 4:15 today and 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, so I'm extremely nervous. Mm-hmm. So if anybody could come lend some support, I would really appreciate it. So thank you. I love you guys.
Thanks, Adam. Glad to hear.
You can share.
I'm
really glad to be here this weekend. I've been in the program for years and just never have quite gotten it. But okay. Anyway, I feel like I've never had that spiritual awakening. Although I've had bits and pieces. Some years ago I had abstinence from my worst binge food for like 8.5 years. I don't know how it got there. I do know how it left, because I went to McDonald's one day and they were offering a little freebie, and I took it, and within days I was right back into the, it was chocolate. So anyway, I remember working and I was able to just walk by things and people would say, "You don't eat that much?" And no, I don't. And I would say, "Oh my gosh, I could never live without that substance." And it was, well, I can. So anyway, but I could relate when Cindy was talking about the emotion thing. I didn't have it as severe as she did, but I remember my mom's famous thing seemed to be, God rest her soul, children should be seen and not heard.
and so if I had a problem, I would stuff it down with food because I didn't feel like to go to her to tell her what was troubling me. And I've used that all of my life. I had a sponsor recently. It was a very strict program. I thought it was going good, and I stuck with this food program for 16 days. And she called me and told me that it was not going well, that she did not think we were a good fit, and I was too demanding. And so she dropped me. And I went right back into my problem foods again. But I do have to say, the 16 days that I was on that food plan, I happened to go, well, my nurse practitioner, you know, schedules lab work every so often, and I happened to go in a couple days right after being on that plan, and my lab work is so much better. I just looked at it yesterday, and it's you know, like the cholesterol, the HDL, and the LDL. Or better than what they've ever been before, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's a good indicator that I probably need to go right back on that plan again and just find a different sponsor who will help me stick with it. I do really appreciate the thoughts about the writing, the journaling. I feign doing that, but I know that when I sit down to write, a lot of things come out, and it's like a catharsis, and I sure appreciate hearing about getting exercise and just so many things that you all have shared this weekend. And for those of you who have lost over 100 pounds, I am amazed. And that's it. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Glad you're here.
Oh, thank you.
I am Burley, a compulsive overeater.
You're Burley.
I've lost 90 to 100 pounds at least three times in my life. Some of you know about that merry-go-round. Two times it was with a commercial diet club. The other time it was with OA. Then I put most of that back on, and 4 years ago I had a heart attack. And went way back down under cardiac rehab program. And some of that's back now. I'm 50 pounds smaller than I was at my highest, and 50 pounds more than I was at my lowest. And I'm here this weekend, to renew. I've renewed a relationship with my sponsor, and renewed commitments to abstinence. And to work in the program. I've been working it, but it's been, read a few paragraphs and write four lines a day some of the time. And so, one day at a time, I'm committed. One of the things that I was so, a few weeks ago, I found out that basically my, the heart thing that I had are cured. I mean, the vessels that were closing went ahead and closed, but others opened up to surround them, so it'd get past them. I didn't know that could happen. But I'm still 69 and overweight and have some CDS, peripheral artery disorder, PDA. Whatever that thing is, blue ankles. So I know I'm still at risk. So that's one of the. I've got some grandchildren I'd like to see grow up, you know, and a wife that I like living with. So that's part of the incentive. Thank you.
Thanks, Burley. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. We have time for a couple more, I think.
Everyone, thank you so much for your shares. I'm really glad I came to this meeting. I wanted to be here because you know, my disease manifests itself in bulimia, and then the other two. But I know that for anyone to lose that much weight, they've got the gift of desperation. And I felt like I came here with the gift of desperation. And the idea that you have to go to any lengths to recover. I love hearing that, just how much work it is, but how it's so worthwhile. And I'm a little emotional because when you were talking, Cindy, the part about kind of stuffing the emotions with food when you were a kid, and you know, what came up for me, I can remember when I was a kid, I was thinner, and my sister was heavier than I was, and my dad would take us running. He didn't like any, you know, to be overweight was a really negative thing to him, and of course, every time we'd finish going running, he would take us to a sweet treat place, so it was pretty confusing, and which I guess really set up my eating disorder well, now that I think about it. But I remember him throwing rocks at my sister because I would run, but she wouldn't want to run. And at the time, I felt bad that she was getting hit with rocks, but glad that I wasn't. And so I connect that with the piece you said about how higher power loves us, no matter what our weight is. I don't know why I'm getting so emotional, but. And OA really does model that love. You know, it doesn't matter how much we weigh. And that's why I first learned that. I didn't learn it at home. Obviously didn't learn it from my father. And not my mother either. But OA is teaching me that. And that's why I have to keep coming back. Because I have to be reminded, you know, that I'm worthwhile regardless of that every day. And I'm really glad that I have a one day at a time program and that you're all here, and those talks are fabulous, so thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Lisa.
Hi, I'm Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Judy.
I sit back there letting that devil tell me, you ain't got nothing to share. But I'm here to say he's a liar today. God's given me strength to come forward and admit my addiction. And it is food. Food is my sugar, it's my food, drug of choice. But all the inspiring things that I filled up today with, I just had to share. As I listen, words come to my mind. And one of the things that I heard was a song that way back just says, I am without function, but that love was shed for me. I also heard my friend Shirley Caesar say, he's bringing me out no matter what I'm going through. He knows what it's all about. And I have to go to him. I always had what I was going to do. Thank God I could hear his voice today.
Thanks, Judy. We have till 1:25, is that what it is?
I think we have time for one more. Yeah. Two more.
One or two more.
Yeah. Or we can bring it back to those who can't make it.
Yeah.
Pat, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Pat.
And one of the reasons why I hesitated to come in, even though, you know, the 100 pounders is always where I've identified, and the mainstay of my recovery is an email loop that is focused for people who are 100 pounders. But, you know, despite all of my overachieving, I don't really quite qualify for that because, you know, when I'm at my best weight, I'm at about 90 pounds from the top, and, you know, it fluctuates between the 80 and 90. And just when I was compulsively restricting and I missed that benchmark by, I think it was 4 pounds, and it royally honked me off. You know, it would always feel vaguely shameful that I didn't quite really qualify in here. And, you know, one of the things that, I hear a lot of us, and I know I struggled with this too, of not being good enough, not liking the package that I was, and thinking that I didn't measure up and so forth. And I remember bemoaning once to the sponsor that I had then about, you know, with just what a lousy piece of whatever that I was that the world happened to revolve around. And she told me how arrogant I was being to decide how I was supposed to have been created. That was how the traits and the gifts that I had, that was my higher power's decision. And who was I to say, oh, no, I was supposed to be, you know, a blonde supermodel. I wasn't supposed to be, you know, the curvy brunette that's standing here. And I wasn't supposed to be the extrovert. I was supposed to be quiet and meager, whatever. It doesn't matter. And while there's some flavor, some tone things that, you know, I don't know, was always the best in my best interest, that message stays with me. It's not my job to decide what gifts are the ones. If I have the desire for it, I should reach for this, yes. But I don't have to decide. It's not my job if I'm good enough, if I'm measuring up. I qualify for this room and I qualify for this meeting because, yeah, I have that desperation. And a lot of you know me, I've had to go to a lot of lengths sometimes. And I am so incredibly grateful because, like somebody else shared, I had an experience once where in 1995 I was struck abstinent at a church potluck. And I know that that desperation put me in a place where that miracle happened, but I'm not responsible for that miracle. My higher power is, and a lot of times my higher power gives me that gift through you and you and you and you and you. And that'll pass.
Thanks, Pat. Glad you're here. Yes.
I was telling Cindy Albert, she hasn't known me all my life because I'm over there.
But I love that little girl before she was born and all the rest of those days. And I hope I wasn't one of those. I know I wasn't one of those sending her to the bedroom because I was one of them saying, come here, let's go do something. Cindy and I are good at trying to take care of each other when we don't take care of ourselves. And I go through that where I'm her fixer and she's my fixer sometimes. And I went through a time last November where I almost passed away because of something. I knew I was sick, but I didn't know how sick I was. And Cindy sat beside me that night. And what I found out was that I'm at peace with God, and He's at peace with me. It doesn't matter what part of my what my weight is or whatever it is. I found that peace is there, and no matter what, he was there to take me wherever it was going to take me. I'm very grateful to be here. I'm grateful to see the things that are happening in Cindy's life. She's my little sister, and I'm proud of her, especially this weekend, because I know what it took to get her here. All those years, I'm not going to say that I'm absent, although I might be absent the last, you know, how many hours or days or whatever. But God helped me lose 50 pounds since this time last year. And, you know, I can see it as a possibility to keep going. especially knowing that he loves me and he cares for me and he's there with me even when I don't know how to feel it myself. And I'll pass on that.
Thanks, Elaine.
Thanks, Elaine.
Anybody else?
Can we make a circle of love? Hold hands.
I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may be your witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Thy will.
Keep coming back. It works when you work it, and you're worth it.